but thank you.
Good to see you, Sharonda.
God bless you. This morning when we brought our tithes and offerings up, there was some of you that didn't come. And so this is a public rebuke. No, not at all. Many of you give with our app, and we have a church app, and I love it, not because of the giving part, mainly. I love it because you can send prayer on it. And when you send it out, you know, as long as it takes you to type it, it immediately goes to our prayer team and to our elders. Now, it's in their hands right now, and they can begin praying right in the moment. And so I want to encourage you to get the app. But also, some of you that didn't come forward, I know you give on the app. And so it's not that you're backslidden. Just everybody else who was up here all high and mighty giving their, you know, and looking down on you. It's okay. We understand. You gave on the app. Hallelujah. We like to have updates about Israel. I keep telling you that if you want to know the temperature of the world, stick the thermometer in the mouth of Israel. And so we have a young lady who's very connected. You lived in Israel for a while, and she's very connected. So she kind of keeps us up to date, and she's going to do a brief job of that. And because it's brief, she's also made a handout for you this morning so you can take things. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So it's good to know what's going on and what to pray for. So Kathy, would you come on up? Would you welcome Kathy? Thank you, Kathy.
I finally made it to the 21st century. I'm using my phone. Okay. I'd like to start with something good news. Israel is actually, they are now more prosperous than they have ever been in their entire history.
Hallelujah.
And this is actually in preparation for the end times, because the big war that's going to happen in Israel, it's not going to be Islam versus Judaism. It's going to be, they want the spoils, and they're going to come after them. And that's when God himself is going to step in and save Israel. It's lining up faster than we think. Anyhow, good news, another piece. I like this little fun thing. The Ben-Gurion Airport is going to be opening a new terminal in 2020, and it will be catering to the 80,000-plus families who travel with pets. Kind of people. And Israel is always on the leading edge of tech in any area, but this next one I think is really cool. And they have developed a virtual reality program wherein surgeons can practice new medical procedures and learn them in advance without having to learn them on real people. The handout I gave you has a whole lot of stuff that I'm not going to go over, but there's always more than that. I had to condense it extremely even for that little bit there. But I borrowed this next bit straight out of Christians United for Israel. They wrote it. It was written on May the 2nd, which was Holocaust Memorial Day. So today on Holocaust Memorial Day, Yom HaShoah, we commemorate the slaughter of 6 million Jews at the hands of the Nazis. Sadly, as we do so, we are simultaneously seeing the rise of an old enemy wearing a new mask. Where once anti-Semitism was displayed by those in white hoods or wearing the twisted cross of the swastika, today the hatred hides in plain sight. Only a decade ago, anti-Semites were shunned and despised. Now this appalling bigotry has platforms on Twitter and the New York Times and is applauded in the public square. Anti-Semites rail against Israel on our college campuses. They break bread with elected officials and commit acts of heinous violence in our cities, like the horrific shooting that we saw just last week at the synagogue in San Diego. Remember, this is written May 2nd, so that was a little bit a while ago, but not that much. They may not wear the uniforms of their forefathers, but today's anti-Semites are as dangerous as they are insidious. In fact, by wrapping themselves in the flags of faith, social justice, and liberty, they are contorting the concepts we as Americans hold so dear. The anti-Semites of today are arguably, the anti-Semites of today are arguably a larger threat than those who for decades were more easily distinguished from normal peace-loving patriotic. Oh, my. Sorry, this whole thing went screwy on me. Okay. They're arguably they are not as easily distinguished from normal peace-loving patriotic Americans. Don't be fooled by those using words like anti-Zionism as a fig leaf to hide their bigotry. Let us not become blind to the anti-Semitism that hides in plain sight, where false arguments are used to mask efforts to destroy Israel through boycotts, divestments, and sanctions. For decades, support of Israel transcended party, ideology, and faith in this country. Those focused on civil rights and human rights, such as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., saw in Israel a light unto the nations, but today the loss of objective truth and the acceptance of moral ambiguity have enabled anti-Semitic movements to spread like cancer. We should not just curse the darkness. We need to shine the light by opposing anti-Semitism in all its forms, wherever it may be found, educating friends, family, coworkers, and elected officials about how to identify and condemn anti-Semitism that hides in plain sight, fighting those who use opposition to Israel's policy as a thin veil for their hatred of the Jewish state, and supporting our Jewish neighbors should they ever be victims of anti-Semites. Christians have evangelical Christians have traditionally been a supporter of Israel, and Israel recognizes that fact. And I have just a short video clip to end with here.
Shalom.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Together.
Blessings from Israel.
This is real.
We are together.
Christian friends and supporters of the State of Israel from all over the world, shalom.
We are the Jewish people of the biblical land of Israel.
A people who returned to their ancestral homeland after centuries of exile.
We are the living evidence that God's word is alive.
That his prophets were real and his promises true.
And you are part of this great story.
This is real.
You respect history.
You stand for truth.
You believe in the Bible.
And you support the State of Israel and the right of the Jewish people to their God-given land.
We and you together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom from Hebron. Samaria vineyards, of which Jeremiah prophesied. You shall again plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria.
Blessings from Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, where the people of Israel entered into a covenant with God.
Shalom from Shiloh, where the tabernacle stood for 369 years.
Centuries of dispersion.
Today, you stand alongside the State of Israel, and by doing so, you are taking part in the greatest miracles of all times.
Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you for standing with us.
Together.
Would you join me in prayer as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Father, you love your people, and what an example of, Lord, up and down, but how you have stayed faithful to them, and you asked us to pray for them, and you said we would be blessed. It meant so much to you that you promised us a blessing if we would pray for them. Lord,
we don't just do it for the blessing, but because it was something you asked of us. And so we lift up Jerusalem to you. We ask, Lord, that peace would reign supreme there. And we thank you, God, for all of the incredible ways that you are blessing them and working through them. I pray, Father, that they would remain an example in the earth of how relationship with you works out and how it looks. And so we thank you, God, for our Jewish friends. And Lord, those that are Jewish and living here, we thank you, Lord, that anti-Semitism would just drain away. And Father, that, Lord, it's not a battle against them, but Father, Lord, we understand that it's what they represent. And so we thank you, Jesus, for the representation of life lived with you. And Lord, we just pray for our Jewish friends, whether they know Jesus yet or not, we lift them to you and thank you for them in Jesus' name. And you know, one of the best things that you can do for the Jewish people is to be blessed of God. Because the Bible tells us in the end times, it's going to be the jealousy that they have over the relationship that people have with Jesus that will provoke them into knowing Jesus. So you be blessed so that jealousy can rise supreme in Israel in Jesus' name. I love the Israelis. I don't know about a pet airport, though. I don't know about that. They've gotten a lot of things right. If you fly next to me and you have a cat, you're probably not going to be my favorite person. If you're a cat lover, I love cats. They taste like chicken, you know. But I love cats. All right. This morning we have a very special time together, but I always like to start with a little bit of humor, and. This is, some of you have heard this before, but I think this is my favorite, so bear with me. I'm going to say it for my benefit, if not for yours. As a bagpiper, I play many gigs. Recently, I was asked by a funeral director to play at the graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was to be at a pauper's cemetery in the backcountry. As I was not familiar with the backwoods, I got lost, and being a typical man, I didn't stop for directions. I finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guy had evidently gone, and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only the diggers and the crew left, and they were eating lunch. I really felt bad about being so late and apologized to them. I went to the side of the grave and looked down, and the vault lid was already in place. I didn't know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers put down their lunches and began to gather around. I played out my heart and soul for this man with no family and friends. I played like I'd never played before for this homeless man. As I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept. I wept. We all wept together. And when I finished, I packed my bagpipes and started for my car. Though my head hung low, my heart was full. As I opened the door to my car, I heard one of the workers say, "I've never seen anything like that before, and I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years." We've been talking about the glory, and honestly, in 26 years of pastoring, I don't think that there is a more important message that I have been talking. And if you've missed it, we've done three parts so far. There's more to come. But you can go on Facebook and you can pull up the archives and look at it again. In fact, talking about our history, I just wanted to recognize Steve and Colleen Thorenson, who are here today. And they are missionaries to Cuba. And we go back, what'd you say, like 25 years. I mean, 2.5 decades, that's a long time. And you know, you look a little older. I haven't aged, but you guys look a little older than we did 25 years ago. 25 years, but, you know, it's amazing. Here they are, and I just still feel the love, you know, and the connection and the spirit that they carry. And so, you know, for 25 years, we've been knowing them. And you know what? Here's what I know about you guys, that there isn't anything that you wouldn't do for me, and there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. And that's why for 25 years we've been going around doing nothing for each other. And so we appreciate you guys and your ministry. Would you like to greet the people?
Is It's such an honor to be here with you today. We've heard about your church, and we were under your pastorship when we were back in Victory Christian Center 25 years ago. So he's a very foundational part of our ministry that we do now. We wouldn't be doing what we do now had these seeds not been planted 25 years ago. So once again, thank you very much, Pastor Ron.
Oh, we love you. We've heard so much about you from our dear friends. So love you. I've wanted to come for a long time. You know, I've heard such good things about you. And just when I came in today, the anointing was so strong. So I just stepped over. It was just wonderful. It's just glorious to be with you. We just love you very much. Isn't it wonderful when we're together? It's just like unity. It's family. Love you so much.
I just wanted to honor you because I just think it's such a great day for somebody to come and catch up on 25 years worth of tithes is probably a really wonderful thing. I want to ask you this morning, what is the highest thing you can think of? The highest thing. Highest. What? Heaven? Somebody said heaven. Can you think of something higher than heaven? Your electric bill. I think we're going to need to catch up on 25 years worth of tithes because benevolence fund is going to get tapped into, I can tell. Anybody think of anything higher than heaven? Can I tell you what's higher than heaven? It's in your Bibles. Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. You know, when God places something, and you know, I know we're not talking physically, but in God's economy, the glory he places even higher than the heavens. That's kind of, you almost need duct tape to wrap around your head so it doesn't explode while you're trying to think about something that God places higher. Do you see the importance God places on the glory? We've been talking about this thing because I believe it's what heaven and hell are warring over your soul over. All fall short of what? The glory. For all of sin, sin separates us from the glory. God's trying to get the glory to us, and the enemy is trying to get the glory from us. It's a deep divide and a great battle in the spirit realm over the glory. Psalm 8 continues on, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? You ever stop and really, really ponder that? Who are we? You know, if we could show you a picture of our galaxy, which by the way is a small galaxy, you'd see, you know, it's a spiral galaxy, and there's just one of the little spirals, and we are on one edge of the little spiral that you can't even see us. And do you know that there's over 800 million galaxies? Okay. In other words, there's a big expanse. And here we are. You can't even see our planet. If you look at our galaxy, you can't even see us, much less all of the heavens. And we sit on this planet, each of us individually. Look how much smaller. Who are you that God would even be mindful of you? It's really crazy. And that's what the author was saying here. Who's man that you're even mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Anybody here have any visitations from the heavens? I'm telling you, it's crazy good stuff. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now, that word, if you go back and study the Hebrew, it literally means it's God. I know they wrote angels, and those Bible scholars in here, go check me out on this. But it literally means he's made us just a little bit lower than God himself. Wow. Wow. Listen, and you've crowned him with glory. God crowned us with glory. He did it with Adam in the garden. That's why Adam could speak to things and they would line up. And I'm not going to reteach that this morning, but I just wanted you to see how important the glory is. In Luke 2:14, we read about the birth of Jesus and how the angels pronounced the birth of Jesus. And right on the heels of that, it says, all of the heavenly hosts. Now, get a picture of that. All of heaven went on a field trip that day. And they came down to this little planet that you can't even see looking at our galaxy. And they were all there, and they made a pronunciation. It's not Christmas time. We speak this a lot at Christmas time, but this is what they said. They said, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. But do you know, if you study that out, again, in the Greek, it's really worded just a little bit differently. Let me point it out to you, because you have to capture this. You have to hear what's really happening here. The word to, glory to God, it's not in there. That word, God, is theos. There is no to. And so it's kind of implied by the authors, but it could be just as easily implied from or of, but the authors wrote to. So you could say glory of God or glory from God just as easily as to. To works, but I'm just telling you that it could change it. And the word and there is the Hebrew word is irene. Not I-nay-nay, I-re-nay, I-re-nay. And listen what it means in Hebrew. It means join. Now let's read the scripture again. Glory of God in the highest, join earth. It joins earth. All of heaven wanted to see this reinsertion of the glory back into the earth. They showed up to see this thing, this gift. How do we know it was glory? Because it was Jesus. And it says, here he was the Word of God, and we saw him come, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Once again, it was there when Adam was here. He spoke to things, and they lined up, they moved. And when he told character issues about animals and then proclaimed them, it was backed up by heaven, and that's who they were and what they were. He spoke to things, and they moved. But for 4,000 years, it didn't happen until the glory came back in the earth, and heaven all showed up to announce, the glory's back. Ladies and gentlemen, the glory is back. And he says, peace and goodness. Goodness, the goodness of God. You know, that's one of the great definitions of the glory. Because remember when Moses said, God, show me your glory. And God said, well, no man can see the glory and live. However, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by. And you can't see my face because you die, but I'm going to let you see the backside of me. And he said, and the goodness passed by. He asked to see the glory, and God defined it as the goodness of God. You know this is true because when you have represented him with goodness to somebody else, you felt the glory. You knew it was there. You were operating with the heavens, and glory was being released. And didn't it feel good? The glory. So, why Jesus is teaching the disciples how to petition the Father, told them to say, on earth just like it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I'm just trying to point out to you, we have glory's all through, we sing about glory, we read about glory, it's all through the Bible, but Christians today have very little understanding of what the glory really is. And the simplest definition is his presence. So when we're singing about his presence and we're pursuing his presence, we're really pursuing his glory, the glory. Habakkuk 2:14. It says something good, if I can remember it. Somebody help me out here. Habakkuk, yeah, for the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory. We quote it as though it's filled with the glory. But see, if you don't know it, you can't have it. If listen, you can have it and not know it, and you still don't get it. Your bank could have $1 million, but if you don't know that it's in there under your name, you're not going to spend it because you don't even know it's yours. So you can have it and not know it and still operate in it. I want to tell you, that's you and that's me. Because there is more glory to operate in than you and I are currently operating in. That's why Jesus could say, greater works are you going to do. So there's glory available, but we can't live short of it. Come on, you fix the sin thing, then, and we have to sometimes fix it every day. But when that sin that separates us from the glory, if there's no sin there, and that's why it's important to take care of, then his presence, his fullness, his partnership, that's why he could say things like, concerning the work of my hand, you command me. That's like telling Bill Gates how to make money. Or way beyond that, actually. Concerning the work of my hands, you command. I wonder how much partnership we're really doing with God. The glory, the glory, the glory. The knowledge of the glory. See, what we first need before a glory invasion is a knowledge invasion, a knowledge of the glory invasion into the body of Christ so that we know who we are, what we have, and then we can be his representation in the earth. People are not looking for weak, wimpy churches filled with women with buns in their hair and push-up bras that run around and act wild. That's not church. Church is people that are filled with the power and the presence of God that walk into situations and change situations to make them line up with heaven on earth as it is in heaven. That's you. That's what you do. That's your assignment. So I don't care what it is that's not right, that's some evil work. You have an assignment there. How many times do we walk into Walmart and there's somebody there in a wheelchair and we may even mutter under our breath, God bless them. You know, and they're poor, pitiful person. Glad that ain't me. Rather than picking up our assignment and saying, listen, you've probably been prayed over and so on, but would it be okay? Let's just approach things like we walk in the glory instead of maybe God will show up. That's the body of Christ. It's risk takers, those that are, you know, we're tree huggers. But the fruit is out on the limb. We want to have the fruit of the Spirit, evidence of him at work in us. But we're so living so close to the comfort area of holding on to the praise God, the trunk of the tree will get you to heaven. But if you go out where the fruit is, heaven will come to earth. And that's what he's looking for, people that will learn to rule and reign with him forevermore. If we don't learn it here, don't expect you're going to get that job title when you get there. It's our assignment here. That's why we're here. So anyways, I'm not going to teach long today because I really want to get Michelle up here. But we're going to move into, I want to preface some things. This is really important. One of the number one tools of the enemy is to divide and conquer. And one of the greatest ways that our country is divided right now is politically. And so what we have are two camps. You're Democrat, you're Republican. You're progressive or you're conservative. We build these camps, and in between the two is division. And the enemy wants to talk us into coming into his battleground of division. And so we're going to be praying for our country. We're going to be praying for our president today. But I want you to know, this is not a promoting President Trump Day. We have people here that maybe they're not on board with everything that President Trump is. I'm not on board with everything that President Trump is doing. He's not our savior. But there's some good things happening in Washington that I think it's really important for us to know about. And so can we just agree not to get into this divide that the enemy loves to bring a division and separation into? Come on, I've never seen in my day, I've never seen a country as divided politically as we are right now. The enemy's having a heyday. We used to be able to talk with each other about these things and work things out. Now it's just hatred. Why? The enemy has just taken it so far, so far. So that's not what today is about. And I'm going to ask you, you may have a point. Oh, I think President Trump is the most incredible. You know, he's Cyrus. He's all these things that we're saying. Listen, keep your opinions to yourself, okay? Both ways. Why? Because this isn't about opinion things. I want to talk to you about some fact things and Bible things today. All the opinions, let's leave out there, but all the fact, all the Bible, let's bring it in and look at it under the light of the gospel today. That's what we're going to do today. Amen? There was a little boy. He was 8 years old, lived, he was a very poor family, part of a poor family, and the circus came to town, and he so wanted to go to the circus, but they didn't have the money, and he begged his dad and asked his dad, and his dad said, son, I'd love to, but we just don't have the money. So one evening, the son ran away from home, just for the evening, and he went to the circus grounds, and he snuck on the circus grounds, and he went to the big top, the circus tent, nobody around, and he lifted up the circus tent. And he looked under there, and there he saw the most wonderful, spectacular things that he'd only dreamed about. But there it was. He peeked under the tent. We have a young lady here today, Michelle Talone Skorsky, who is that little boy. She's been to Washington, and she's peeked under the tent. And she came back, and during our, we have regional meetings every Wednesday. In fact, how long have we been doing this? I mean, close to 10 years, I guess. We've been working together regionally. But she's on a new assignment. And we haven't talked about this, but I just see it on you. A new assignment, as I said this morning in prayer, an emissary, a representative. Do you know that we used to do that politically? It didn't used to be lobbyists, professional lobbyists. It used to be just farmers and people would go to Washington and represent us. And I think we're kind of getting back that way. Anyways, you have an audience with Washington, and I believe it's increasing, and there's going to be even more. So it's not that she's representing our area, though she is. She's representing some kingdom things to Washington. There's some territories that she's captured from her experience and what she carries, and she's going to represent those to Washington. So we have an emissary with us today representing heaven, a lobbyist for heaven, there you go, into Washington. And she was sharing with us on Wednesday of some of the things that she's encountered while she was in Washington, and she'll tell you why she was there and what happened, but my jaw was on the floor. I said, Michelle, could you please come this Sunday? And crazy, because I know you're busy, she checked her schedule and she's available this Sunday. But the other reason why Michelle is here is because she's a friend of this ministry. You know, I just love that. And so, friend Michelle, would you please come and share with us this morning?
Good morning, church. Good morning. Can I just say how much I love this family? The presence of the Lord, we love Pastor Ron and Donna so much. But just being here, I feel so much at home and family. And so it's really good to be with you. And I've got some front friends here, my friend Kina and Abigail and Elizabeth. And they were the House of Prayer in Sarasota as well. And so thankful to have them. And Sharonda's here. Woo woo! God's got her on assignment right now in LA. So please be praying for her. Doors have been opening. She's been acting and in some very dark places, but she brings the light because he's in us the hope of glory, and we know that. So please continue to pray for her as she's on assignment. And I just want to share a couple things. I don't even know how this happened. You know, I got invited to go to Washington, D.C., to the White House for a faith briefing for Christian broadcasters. And I've been working in radio for 39 years now, 33 at the Joy FM. Actually, today is the Joy FM's 33rd anniversary. 1986, we signed on. We prayed over that radio signal at 88.1. That's all we had at the time. We dedicated the station to the Lord and flipped the switch. And I will tell you this, in my wildest prayers and dreams, we never dreamed that God would grow our audience to close to a million people a week and extend us into Atlanta and throughout the state of Florida. And like, it's exceedingly abundantly beyond. So I'm so grateful to be a part of that family. And so I just wanted to share a couple things, just give a report if I can. And Don't you love his presence? Amen. Don't you love his presence? Oh, God, we love your presence, Lord. We love your presence. We're lovers of your presence, God. You're so good. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. In the Old Testament, there's actually no word for presence. It actually means the face of God. That we would seek his face, that we would gaze on his beauty. Gaze on his beauty. King of kings, Lord of lords, thank you. Oh, yeah. So, Timothy, it's not a suggestion to pray for those in authority. He calls us to pray for those in authority. And for the last three presidents, I've been a part of the presidential prayer team, and it's been helpful because they've sent out specific prayer requests and where the president is on assignment. But we got this invitation to go to Washington, D.C. And I'll say this, Franklin Graham, Dutch Sheets, and about 250 pastors have asked that today that we would pray for our president and our nation. They're really asking for covering. And so I just wanted to share a few of the updates and the people that I met, which was just amazing. There are faith leaders in every department of our government right now. Many of them spirit-filled lovers of Jesus. Things that you don't even hear about. Sorry, I might get a little excited. Okay, I might. All right. So I get this invitation, and this is like for radio station owners and managers. That's not me. I just talk, you know? And I'm like, how did this even happen? Well, one of the women who was organizing this in D.C., she lives in Massachusetts, and she listens to me. I'm on a radio station there. I work at a number of radio stations in different places. And she prays with me, and she says, I know you pray for the president, and I want you to come. I'm like, okay, I'll come. So let me just read what Franklin Graham requested. He said, in the history of our country, no president has been attacked as President Trump has. I believe the only hope for him and for this nation is God. Amen. This is a critical time for America. We're on the edge of a precipice. Time is short. We need to pray for God to intervene. We need to ask God to protect, strengthen, encourage, and guide the president. We know that God hears and answers prayer. He can soften hearts and change minds. He is all-powerful. He rules over the affairs of nations. The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 1 Timothy 2. Amen. So we're going to take a little time to do that. But first, I came a day early, and we went and saw the Bible Museum, which the Hobby Lobby owners have put together. It is just amazing. They said it would take 9 days to go through the whole museum. We were there for 2 hours, and it just whet your appetite. But just pointing to Jesus, the whole thing is just amazing. And then I was invited to a dinner, and there were about 15 broadcasters and other representatives. There was 23 of us at this dinner. And do you ever find yourself in a place that you're like, Lord, how did I get here? Like, for real. That's what was going on. I'm like, oh, Jesus, how did I get here? And I actually had to go out and buy a blazer, you know, and like pantyhose, like things like that, you know, that you don't normally. I had to have my governmental clothes for D.C. Thank you, friends. You know, made that possible. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and people are standing up. I'm with Veterans Affairs. I'm with Homeland Security. I'm with FEMA. I'm with HUD. I work with Ben Carson. I'm with Children and Family Services. And they're all believers and key positions and sharing God reports. And then right across from me, out of the 23 people at the dinner table, God sits me directly across from the Deputy Administrator to Children and Family Services for Foster Care and Adoption in the nation. Now, if you guys know me at all, you know that I've been traveling for the last 7 years with Representative, now Senator Albritton's wife, and we do the 111 Project, talking about one church, one family, one purpose, to care for the orphans in our state. We have over 23,000 children in the foster system in our state right now, 23,000. And can you imagine what the harvest would look like? We talk about 5,000 saved in a day. You're like, God, do it again, God, do it again. We have right now about 12,000 of those children that need either a temporary place through a foster family, a healing reconciliation, introduced to a father who would never leave them, or many of them whose parental rights have been terminated and they need a forever her family. Can you imagine what that would be like to disciple 10,000 children in our state? We could shift the state of Florida, and I believe it would be first fruits in the nation. So I burned for this. You know, two of our daughters came to us through foster care and adoption. And so we just started a page on the Joy FM, a home for every child. Every month we're putting up a different child who needs a forever family. So that's a little side note. But out of all this, God sits me right across from the lady, you know. So I'm sharing the testimony of my daughter and how she came to us. She was sleeping in a laundry basket, living with three heroin addicts. And I'm just sharing this story. I'm like, how did this happen? She's like, will you send me information on what you're doing in Florida? So please be praying about that, because that's still coming together. But then we were invited the next day to go to a faith briefing in the White House. And we're in the White House in the Eisenhower building in the Indian Treaty Room, built in 1880. And Michael Tate from the Newsboys and some other worshipers were there. And I just have a 60-second clip of worship. There was about 50 of us there for this faith briefing. That's the back of my head. Oh, can you get to the video first then? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Every hour I need thee, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee, I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Amen.
Echoing with worship of sons and daughters. Come on. And this is continuing to happen. There have been over 500 pastors that have been invited in. And this administration is asking for godly counsel. So I'm asking you to pray. You know, we always talk about how the sons of Issachar discerned the times and they knew what the people should do. And God has strategically placed some of these men and women in key positions. And they are asking for prayer. One woman pulled me aside, and she's the one who does Bible studies with Mike Pompeo and others. And she said, please pray. There's so much spiritual warfare going on. We need you guys to cover us. And I mean, key positions in the administration. So I'm asking you, and I'm just going to share a little bit about what they shared with us in the faith briefing, because this is stuff that we don't hear in the news. And you know what? We need to believe what he says about us and what he's saying over this nation and the nations of the world, and stop believing what our cell phones are telling us and what the news is telling us, because this is truth and what he shares. And I believe we've been given a window of opportunity as sons and daughters where we can freely proclaim who he is. You know, what one of the people that we met was Ambassador Sam Brownback, and he is the former governor of Kansas. He's the ambassador to international religious freedom. And he said the persecution of Christians continues to worsen every day. He's asking for prayer. He said we have more Christian martyrs than ever before in church history, and that we, America, is the voice for the persecuted church around the world. He said we need to speak out for the persecuted church. The persecuted church is praying for us in America. You know, we've been given the freedom to worship God. It's our God-given right and not a government-given one. He is meeting with 110 nations about religious freedom and persecution in July. And he's asked for prayer. He said Iran and China right now are the strongest growing churches, yet they are the most persecuted regions of all. He said his main concern is China right now. And he said, he said the media is not saying this, but you know, they have a communist government, an atheistic government. And he said right now with the new technology that they have this facial recognition right now technology that any place you go, when you walk in a building, through facial recognition, they know who you are. And if they know you to be a believer, they can access all of your contacts, all of the people that you've texted, everybody on your phone. They can begin to put pressure on your bank account, your credit scores, the people who rent you your house, or your all of that stuff through this technology. He said, it's terrifying. And he said, you know, I hear, he said, I want you to pray about what's going on right now in China. And, you know, we hear this kind of stuff maybe on, you know, Glenn Beck or something. But I heard it in the White House from this man who's the International Religious Freedom Ambassador. So please pray. Pray for China. He said other religions are being persecuted too. Right now there are 1 million Muslims in work camps in China that are being they're forced to eat pork. They're forced to do everything against what they believe. Pray for those Muslims in those work camps that they would encounter Jesus there through dreams, and that God would minister to their hearts and be with them. So that was one of the privileges, was to be with him. This guy here, Kevin, he works for Homeland Security and FEMA. And it was so funny because he came and found Carmen and I and asked to take a picture because he's from Florida and he listens to the Joy FM. And I'm like, wow. And he works for the government with FEMA and Homeland Security. He's been down at the border a number of times. He said the church is the greatest help down there. And he said what we're seeing on the news is not what's happening, and we need to come alongside these people. He said he had a 3.5-year-old trying to come across. It was 11 pounds. And he just asked for the church's help. They really want to partner together with the church. He's the one who has feet to the ground in all the hurricanes and storms and crisis. And he said the church is our greatest asset and our greatest help in these situations. So he wants to help fund the church and equip the church. And what I didn't even realize is when FEMA gives a state money for like a storm to help with aid, we have to, as a state, pay the government back. But when the church volunteers and serves and helps and comes out with chainsaws and food and all of those things, those hours can help get rid of our debt as a state. Right now, because of Michael, we don't have any debt to the nation because of all the church volunteer hours that have come and served. That's amazing to me. So I thought that was incredible. Jennifer Korn, who's the deputy assistant to the president, she said the people of faith are welcome at the White House. You have a voice. She said your prayers have been felt. And every department and agency has faith directors right now. And we met the pastor who pastors all of these people in all of these departments. His name is Todd Lampier. And we had a meal with him. And it's a funny story. Are you guys good? Am I okay just telling you stories? Okay. All right. So 18 years ago, when Paula White was broadcasting a lot of on our TV shows and doing things like that in Florida, she had one of her media people come in and say, hey, we have a chance to broadcast in this area, this east coast of Florida, and it's a pretty reasonable price. Should we do it? $300 or whatever for each television show. And she said, no, we're doing enough. We won't do that. Well, as the man was walking out, the Holy Spirit apprehended her and said, no, I want you to do this. So she signed the contract. And a few months later, 18 years ago, she gets a call from Mr. Trump. And he said, I've been watching your television show, which he wouldn't have seen had she not signed this contract, had she not heard from Holy Spirit. And he said, I have a lot of questions. Could we meet? And 18 years ago, they began to meet. And she said, Mr. Trump, I don't want any of your money. I'm doing fine. So she never took money from him. But she began to meet with him and his family. And so now she is our president's pastor. And so it's been a lot because of her voice that we've had over 500 pastors and godly counsel in this administration and in the White House. And so Todd Lampier was a pastor. He was a Southern Baptist pastor in Orlando. Had a big church, had satellite churches, conservative Southern Baptist pastor. And he said, this crazy tongue-talking charismatic lady started reaching out to me. And saying she was praying for me, and she offered him this position to come to D.C. And he said, first of all, she's a woman. She's a tongue-talking woman. She's had a divorce, and I'm working for her, and she's amazing. And the Lord's using her. Like, so it was kind of neat to hear his story. And he said, and you think our president's tweets are bad now? If it wasn't for Paula White, they'd be much worse, he said. So it was kind of funny to hear those stories. And Jared Kushner came out, who is, of course, the president's son-in-law, and he's a senior advisor to the president. And he talked about how important it was that we're a friend to Israel, and that we've moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and that we believe the Golan Heights are part of Israel, and talked about prison reform and what's happening, that the church, again, is the most effective tool reaching out to prisoners. And so instead of keeping them from coming in and keeping them from being funded, they want to partner together with the church to do that. And then the second chance bill, so when men and women come out of prison, and we work with a lot of them, you know, through the programs that come in our area, that businessmen will get a tax break when they hire someone, even if they've had a felony, to help them get back on their feet again. So some neat things like that to help bring restoration, I feel like, are really important. You still with me? All right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Kevin from Homeland Security said, along the border crisis, the faith community has rallied along the border, and it's been the most helpful tool along the border. And so the churches are a vital part of our community. And then we met this beautiful lady. She came out. She was so cute because her name is let me find her paper here. Her name is Jenny Lichner. She's a deputy director of Domestic Policy Council. She comes out. The first thing she says to Michael Tate of the Newsboys is, my very first concert was a Newsboys concert. And so it was really neat to hear her talking, you know. But she has worked on the Baker, the Christian Baker case, and on the Hobby Lobby case, and some really key cases in our nation. And they're working on a conscience bill. And she said that won't be easy to reverse no matter what administration is in office, which I feel like is as important as well. And she said, this would say, as a doctor, you won't be forced to do assisted suicides or abortions or gender surgeries, that right now you would be, but this bill will help people of faith stand for what they believe even in their workplace. So I felt like that was really key and important to pray for. And the other thing was that, you know, we know about our Supreme Court justices that have been placed in key positions, but there have been 107 other judges that have been placed in lower courts who are for life and for family. So that's really crucial. That'll affect our grandchildren if God tarries. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jason Greenblatt came out. He's the lawyer and the chief counsel for the president. He's the advisor on Israel and international relationships. And he said, I'm a religious Jew, he said to us. But he was just talking about the Bahrain meeting that you have on your notes and how important that was. And we need to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu and how crucial that is in this hour as well. So I felt like that was key. And then, lastly, we weren't expecting it, but our vice president came in, and he was giving a tour to Bart Miller, the lead singer of Mercy Me. You know, I can only imagine Mercy Me. Bart was there with his family because they're homeschooling and they're learning about government. So they're doing a tour of the White House, and the vice president saw on the schedule of the White House that there were Christian broadcasters there. And so he said, can we go by and greet them? And I just happened to be standing by the door, which was awesome. I'm like, oh, because I love this man, you know. And he comes up, and he said, I just want to thank you for what you do. He said, I got saved at a Christian music festival in 1978. And the conversation wasn't like political Christianity. He was genuinely. He said, I was in the Word this morning. The Lord was showing me this. And he began to share with us. And it was just amazing to me. And this is, he said this, I want you to know, the words I'm praying for you are the sweetest words, and we feel them every day. And he said, pro-life is winning, and more young people are pro-life. America stands for Israel, freedom of religion for every American. The First Amendment is our first freedom. And he said, there are so many Christians and people of faith in the administration. And so then he had Bart Miller pray with us, and all of us just joined together and prayed and then continued to worship in the White House. So I was really rocked It opened my eyes to some things. You know, oftentimes we get jaded by what we see and believe, you know, just because of the media. But I would encourage you to pray for these men and women who are in strategic places trying to see things shift in our nation. And I really believe we've been given a window of opportunity, a window of freedom, where we can be vocal about what we believe. I mean, you look at other countries, like with foster care, they won't let Christians adopt or foster or bring children to church. All of those things, we still have the freedom to do that in this nation. And I believe we need to step into these opportunities and not let, you know, the spirit of this age keep us from getting out of our comfort zones a bit, and we need to pray. So we all know Second Chronicles. Everybody knows Second Chronicles. But you know, if my people, who are called by my name, were called by His name, would humble themselves, would turn from their wicked ways, and seek His face. God, Your face is what we seek. Your face is what we seek, and that we would come to Him in humility and repentance. Then He promises to hear from heaven and heal our land. You know, I was thinking about Kim Clement's prophetic word in 2008, back when nobody ever thought it was possible for Trump to be the trumpet, you know, and he had that word. And the second part of that word, if you've listened to it at all recently, was that he would be filled with the Spirit. So please pray. You know, I'm not sure where he is with Jesus. I just know he's surrounded himself with people who love Jesus. And, you know, back in the old days, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be president. Who would want to be president now? Nobody. Can you imagine the word curses and the hatred every single moment of every day being spoken over your life and your family? Seriously. Like, man. So whether we agree or disagree, God can turn the hearts of kings. He can turn the hearts of kings. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. So a few prayer points, and then we can pray together, right? All right. First of all, as I was thinking about this when I came back, I was reading the verse in Ezekiel 22 where it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I found no one. And then Isaiah 59, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. It shows God wondering. There's nobody who believes enough in the delivering power of God, who loves the people enough to stand in the gap. And I believe that the Lord is looking today in this hour for people who would stand in the gap to cry out for our land and the nations of the world and the persecuted church. You know, I think so often, you know, we understand the Mark mandate to make disciples one-on-one, but we don't understand the Matthew mandate to disciple nations. And we're called to disciple nations. And so, and all of that is birthed and sustained and conceived in this place of prayer and intercession. The highest privilege on the planet. Andrew Murray says, he says this. Okay. Intercession is the very holiest exercise of our boldness as God's children, the highest privilege and enjoyment connected with our intimacy with God, the power of being made used by God as instruments for His great work and making men His habitation and showing forth His glory. Come on, we get to do this. So these were some prayer points that they sent us as media people. Would you pray today for our president, protection for our president, our vice president, and all the elected officials? Our president's headed to England this week. Just pray for him and in Melania and the family. For discernment and wisdom and favor. Praying Ephesians that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be on this nation's leadership, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray that the Lord would surround the president, vice president, with godly leaders and good advisors. Someone mentioned, you know, Daniel today. Daniel was in three different governmental changes, and he was in leadership. If God doesn't care about government, he wouldn't have given us Joseph and Daniel. He does care, you know. But that godly advisors and godly leaders would surround this administration, and pray that any scheme or attack of the devil would fail and fall. In Jesus' name. So, yeah.
Come on. Would you also talk about the spiritual battle that in the White House that's happening?
Yeah. Well, they just really stress that there's real demonic stuff going on, not just
you know, obviously our battle is not against flesh and blood and not against people, but principalities and powers. And they said that there are the demonic spirits even in the White House, that they said we really need to pray for deliverance. There's such demonic activity in that place right now. And one woman pulled me aside who is an intercessor who works with some of these key officials, and she just really was desperate for prayers for that. So, yeah. Right, with Jennifer Lichner, who works with domestic policy, that some of these things, the conscience bill especially, that it would be very hard to reverse in future administrations because of the way that they're setting it in place, which is really crucial. You know, and we, you know, whether he knows Jesus or not, this president has had more pro-life decisions than any president in history. And so I believe all of these things, think about this, the three things that are under attack, you know, are the things that God so cherishes. Marriage, he says it's the most beautiful example of the way Jesus loves his bride. The most beautiful example we have is in marriage. Identity, because we're called to be sons and daughters. And we have a whole generation that doesn't know their identity. But Carrie said something to me a while ago that kind of changed my view. And this whole H.R. 5 bill, if this passed, that would mean it would be illegal for you to talk against anyone or about being transgender. That would mean pages of this Bible would be illegal to speak in America, you know. And that would mean that they would have permission to give our children hormone changes even before they're 18 years old against our will as parents. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy thing. But again, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We know that. So we have a whole generation of people who don't know who they are. They're just called to be sons and daughters. Come on, that's amazing. And Carrie said, can you imagine the faith for somebody who's a boy to say that they're a girl? That takes, I mean, whether it's misplaced faith, obviously, but it takes faith. But when they grab a hold of who they really are, the faith and the boldness and the fearlessness that they'll step out in, so we need to pray. So that's the second attack. And so it's identity. And then the third attack, of course, is life, because we have our Father's DNA. We're created in his image. He knew us even before we were in our mother's womb, fearfully, wonderfully made, chosen, set apart. Of course there's a battle on life. You know, so I just want to encourage you, like, we don't get mad at the people, but we pray for them. God can change hearts and lives. He can do that. He did it for us, didn't he? So I know that he can do that in Jesus' name. Yes.
Thank you, Michelle.
Hey, everyone.